Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of Psalm in chapter number 24. Psalm chapter 24 this morning. We preached last Sunday morning out of 1 Chronicles, talking about King David's thanksgiving. And Psalm 24 actually goes right alongside of 1 Chronicles. This is a psalm that David wrote as the Ark of the Covenant was coming back into Jerusalem. It had been absent for many, many years, and so now there's a celebration that's going on. And as we're closing out Thanksgiving, so to speak, and we're moving into Christmas, I thought it'd be appropriate, as 1 Chronicles we talked about last week, David's thanksgiving and what the things that we should be thankful for. And now here is a celebration that's going on. And the title, if you want to give a title to this, is Preparing for the King's Return. And as the kids were singing this morning, I thought that was very appropriate, that let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. I firmly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is just on the very verge of returning to this earth. He came in Bethlehem's manger over 2,000 years ago, but he's coming back again. There is more prophecy relating to the second coming of Christ than there was concerning his first coming. And we know that he came the first time. Amen? Amen? And we know that he's coming back the second time. And so in your Bibles this morning, Psalm chapter 24, if you'll stand with me, please, out of reverence for the Word of God, if you can. And let's read together Psalm 24 and just the six verses here, or excuse me, just the 10 verses here in Psalm chapter 24. The Bible said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and his righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. O Jacob, Selah, lift up your hands, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I pray that you'd use it now to speak to our hearts today. Lord, we want to just tell you we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, as we come through Thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for all the family, friends. Lord, thank you for the good testimony service last Wednesday night and for the blessings of God that you've given to every one of us. And Lord, as we move now into this Christmas season, Lord, help us to continue to be mindful of the thanksgiving for the great gift that you gave us. We thank you, Lord, today that Jesus was born, that he came, he lived among us. He walked on the Galilean shores. He lived a perfect, sinless life, went to Calvary's cross, and shed his blood for our remission of sins. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that our minds will be centered upon him this morning. Help us not to be distracted by the things that's going to happen this day, about lunch and about dinner and all the other Christmas shopping, the things that folks have got on their mind. But help us in these brief minutes that we center our thoughts and our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the King is coming back again. For we pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 24 is actually a chorus. It is actually a song. Most of the psalms were songs that people sang. And in Psalm chapter 24, if you could imagine, as David is writing this and he has already given instructions to the people, there are two great choirs as the Ark of the Covenant is now coming into Jerusalem. It has been absent now for many, many years. And now as it's coming in, there is a choir on one side and a choir on the other side. And one choir would issue out a statement, and the other choir would answer that. For instance, it says there, "Who is this Lord of glory?" And then the other choir would answer that question in verse number 10. "Who is the King of glory?" And then the other side would say, "The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." And notice as you read down through here, there is something about this Psalm chapter 24. In fact, if you look at Psalm 22, 23, and 24, they all picture the Lord Jesus Christ. You find in Psalm chapter number 22, we call that the crucifixion psalm. For in Psalm chapter 22, you'll find those phrases there that Jesus himself used as he hung on Calvary's cross. You'll find in Psalm 22, as the Bible describes how the people walked by and they made faces at him. They mocked him as he hung on Calvary's cross. Psalm 22 is a crucifixion psalm. Psalm 23 is the psalm of the shepherd psalm. We find in Psalm 23 how David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we could put a period there. For if the Lord is your shepherd, then everything else, my friend, is just gravy on the mashed potatoes. Amen. Because if the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want for anything. And so Psalm 23 is that psalm of a shepherd. But then we come to Psalm chapter 24. And in Psalm 24, here is a coronation psalm. Here is a psalm that is written that will signify the supreme King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you read the book of Psalms, there are two words that occur many, many times. The two words are this: amen and Selah. The word amen simply means let it be so. When I'm preaching or when somebody is singing and the congregation says amen, what you are saying is I'm agreeing with what's being said, and you're saying let it be so. I'm 100% behind you. Or in other words, as the redneck says, sick 'em, amen, just sick 'em. And so when you say amen, that's sick 'em to the preacher. That's like an old hound dog when you say, go get him. And so amen is that word. But then you find in Psalm 24 another word, and that's Selah. And Selah means to think upon what has just been said. In other words, if we put it in redneck English, it means, what do you think about them apples? Amen. And so when you find the word Selah, it means to pause and to think about what just has been said. In Psalm chapter 24, it is a celebration. It is a time that the Ark of the Covenant is coming back into Jerusalem. It has been gone for 50 years. Did you hear me? 50 years. The Ark of the Covenant has been gone. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence and the power of God. And for 50 years, the Israelites did not have the presence and the power of God. My, what a shame that would be. Wouldn't it be a shame to come to church this morning and not feel the presence of God when you walked in the back doors? Wouldn't it be a shame to come and go through your life and not know the sweet presence of the Lord when you bow down in prayer, when you're praying for a particular need and you're crying out and you're begging God, and all of a sudden there's nothing. Your prayers are just hitting the top of the ceiling and you don't feel anything. There's no power. There's no presence. And these people for 50 years did not have the presence of God in their congregation. My friend, I don't know about you, but I enjoy when God shows up. Amen. I enjoy the presence of the Lord in a church service, in a singing service. I enjoy in last Wednesday night. If you missed last Wednesday night, those of you who are here, would you say with me, if you missed last Wednesday night, you missed a blessing. My, the testimonies, folks were, and you say, preacher, I'm not real good at saying that. I know that some people don't ever say anything, but some people, my friend, God just gets a hold of your heart, and you got to say it. You got to be able to express that. You got to say how good and how wonderful God has been in my life. And what a blessing it was. But I'd hate to think going through a service without the presence of God. A whole generation. 50 years, a whole generation, the kids were born and they grew up to be adults and did not see and did not feel and did not know the presence of God in their congregation. But I'm afraid That's about where we are in the majority of churches today in our country. Can I have an amen? I know we're there in our schools. I know we're there in our education system. I know we're there. Isn't it a crying shame today that people today, you can pray to most any God that you want to, but if you stand up and you invoke the name of Jesus, oh, they want to tar and feather you. But may I say to you, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus that saves. We ought to lift that name up this morning, but here they had missed the presence of God. And so as the Ark of the Covenant is coming into the city, there's a great celebration going on. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant, for those of you kind of get a mental picture in your mind, in the tabernacle in the wilderness and then in the temple that Solomon built, the Ark of the Covenant. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant is a missing piece. People don't know what happened to it, don't know where it went. There's theories and there's speculation. And I got news for you that Hollywood has not found it. Say amen. I got news for you there. Anyway, that's another story. But the Ark of the Covenant, if you could imagine, it was a golden box, or a box overlaid with gold. And on behind that were two angel wings that were touching. And inside of that, there was a chest. And inside of that, there were three things. There was the broken law of Moses. There was the rod of Aaron that budded. And then there was a pot of manna. That manna that was given in the wilderness. Each one of those signified a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, on the top of that box, when they closed the lid and in between those two angels, the top of it was called the mercy seat. It was the mercy seat that the priest one time of year would catch the blood of an innocent lamb, take it inside either the tabernacle, go behind the curtain, or into the temple, and take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and then stand back, clap his hands, and say, "It's finished," and the Shekinah glory of God would fall and consume the sacrifice, and God would say, "Your sins have been atoned for 1 year." 1 year. In other words, they were put on a charge account. How many of you know what a charge account is? Especially this time of year, amen? But a charge account simply means it's not paid for. You're just charging it. Every year they charge it. Every year they charge it. Every year they charge it until when Jesus came, and thank God that he was born of a virgin. He condescended from heaven's glory, slipped off the regal palaces of glory, came down, was born in a stable. He became flesh, dwelt among us, walked on the shores of Galilee, never told a lie, never had an evil thought, went to Calvary's cross, died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And now, my friend, our sins are paid for. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all the sins, past, present, and future. You were not born, but guess what? He paid for your sins. Amen? He paid for your sins yesterday, the ones that you committed. He paid for your sins today, the ones that you commit. And he paid for those tomorrow, the ones that you will commit. They are all, my friend, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought to say hallelujah for the blood. It's interesting when you come to the New Testament and you find in 1 John 2, verse 2, the word propitiation. He has become our propitiation, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The same word mercy seat in the Old Testament is in the New Testament, propitiation. And he is the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Now let's go back here to Psalm 24 and we get to the message. When the Ark of the Covenant came in to Jerusalem, David, he was filled with joy. And as he was filled with joy, the Bible records back over in 1 Chronicles that David danced before the Lord. His wife looked out of the window and saw David dancing, and the Bible said it displeased her. Here David was down in the street. I don't know what kind of, he was doing some type of dance. Amen. But his, listen, he, it wasn't one of them ballroom waltzes. David was going, woo, glory, hallelujah, the ark is here. And he'd run around and dance before the Lord. And his wife didn't like that. You know what I realize today? There are some folks don't like old-time Christianity, amen? Some folks don't like getting excited. But my friend, I guarantee you this afternoon when those football players will get on that field and they run down that pigskin and they cross the touch, across the finish line, whatever, they'll say, woo, hey, yeah, look them go, go, go. They'll get excited about a piece of leather. We as God's people ought to get excited that our sins are forgiven. Amen. Now quickly this morning, would you notice three things with me? Would you notice there in preparation for the king's return, there is the Lord's claim, verses 1 and 2. There is the Lord's calling, verses 3 and 6. And then there's the Lord's coming, verses 7 and 10. Notice first of all, the Lord's claim, verse number 1. The Bible said, and the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world. And notice there, and he says, and they that dwell therein. In other words, beloved, God owns everything. Amen. God owns the ground we walk on. God owns the air that we breathe. God owns everything there is about us. Say amen. He owns every mountain, every valley, every ocean. It all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's. We talk about having nothing down here. We talk about being poor down here. We talk sometimes, my friends, about walking in poverty down here. But may I remind you this morning that if we're saved by the good grace of God, that we are joint heirs with Jesus, we have a king for a father, and everything, it belongs to Him, and thank God it belongs to me as well. I'm joint heirs with Christ. By the way, I have an inheritance that is incorruptible and fades not away. I'm glad to tell you this morning that thank God I have an inheritance not down here. It's not built with man's hands, but I have an inheritance, a home in heaven. I have a mansion. Thank God I have an inheritance that will never fade away. It will never pass away. It will never grow old and dusty. It'll never need fixing up. It'll never need repairing. Why? Because it's built by the King of Kings, and He owns it all. He owns everything by the reason that He created it. He made it. Genesis 1:1 says this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Beloved, if you have a problem with verse number 1, then you have a problem with the rest of the book. Can I get an amen? If you have a problem that God created, listen, it wasn't the devil that made the sun. It wasn't the devil that hung the stars in their places. It wasn't the devil, my friend, that breathed life into this body. It's God Almighty, and God created man, and God created woman. God created the beast of the field. Oh, listen, I can believe the account in Genesis that He created it all. There are those today that don't believe that. But I want to remind you today, I believe that God created it, that everything exists down here because of Him. He's holding everything in His hands. He's holding this earth in the right orbit. It's set at 23 degrees on its axis. It's spinning around the sun. If we was any closer to the sun, we'd get burned up. If we was any further away, we'd freeze to death. But God has set the things in motion. And although you may not like cold weather, thank God for it. He's put the seasons. We've got summer, and we've got winter, and we've got fall, and we've got spring. It's all because of God. He lets the sun come up in the morning. He lets the sun go down in the evening. He lets the moon shine by night. He lets the stars glisten as it were placed on a black velvet cloth. It's God that hangs the spheres in space. It's God that puts the planets in their orbits. He made it all. He stepped out on nothing and spake it into existence. Second of all, quickly this morning, why does God have a right to this earth? It's because of the redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus redeemed three things. He, first of all, my friend, he redeemed your soul. He died for your soul on Calvary. He shed his precious blood on Calvary for your soul and for my soul. He purchased your redemption on Calvary. He died for me. Second of all, he died for your body. The Bible tells me one day we'll have a new body. One day we'll have a glorified body. Won't it be a glad and glorious day when you don't have to take any pills any longer, when you don't have to go to the doctor any longer, when you don't have to suffer any longer? It'll be a grand and glorious day when we have a body that is fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus' body. Oh, listen, my friend, he died for your soul, but he died for our body. My friend, there'll not be a sick body in the rapture when Jesus comes. And the rapture, my friend, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, the living shall be changed. There's not going to be any sick bodies. You're going to leave them canes behind. You'll leave the eyeglasses behind. You'll leave the false teeth behind. Say amen. Because you'll have a perfect, glorified body, one likened unto the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. And then, my friend, notice also quickly this morning, look in verses 3 through 6. And I find the Lord's calling in verses 3 through 6. Quickly now. He said, who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And he gives us the answer. The choirs, as they would sing on one side, who shall stand in his holy hill? Notice what he says. He that hath clean hands and of a pure heart. What's he talking about? He's talking about those that serve the Lord must do so with clean hands and a pure heart. He's talking there, my friend, about those, my friend, that want to serve Christ. For he gives a blessing here. He said, those that will do so, he says in verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God, his salvation. There is a blessing for those that seek after the Lord. There is a blessing. Listen, young people, hear me out this morning. Don't let the devil con you into believing this lie today. But it pays to serve Jesus. It pays to keep yourself clean. It pays to keep a clean body and a clean mind. Thank God. Listen, don't let the devil con you into believing that you need to throw your body away and throw your life away. Oh, listen, it belongs to Jesus. Give him all today. This world today will tell our young people, you've got to sow your wild oats. You've got to live it up. You've got to experiment. You've got to see what it's like on the other side of the fence. No, sir. Listen, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. You'll not regret. Listen, you'll not regret one day that you live for Jesus. My granddaddy was 83 years of age when he got saved. He used to sit and cry over all the years that he gave to the devil. My granddaddy would weep and cry because he didn't get saved sooner. I'm glad he got saved when he's 83 years of age. He's in heaven today. But my friend, you'll not regret a day. I don't regret a day that I gave to the Lord. I'm glad I came to Christ at a young age. And some of you sitting here this morning, you'll never regret a day. There'll be some regrets if you don't come to Christ. There'll be some scars that you wish hadn't have been there. There'll be some memories you wish you could get out of your mind. But if you come to Jesus and you give him all, your heart, your life, your body, your soul, your all, you'll not regret one day. The only thing you'll regret is you didn't do it sooner. But notice something. What is he calling? He's calling people to surrender to his lordship. You know, either he is Lord of all, or either he's not Lord at all. Either he is Lord of your life, and I mean he's Lord of your finances. He's Lord of your being. He's Lord of your goings. He's Lord of your business transactions. He's Lord of everything, or either he's not Lord at all. Boy, it got quiet. Can I have an amen there? Oh, listen. Either he's Lord or either he's not Lord. There are three things, three places in the Bible, I want to give you real quickly, that we find that he's the Lord over the greatest of our three enemies. In Mark chapter number 5, he's the Lord of over all the demons. Can I tell you something? There is no weapon that is formed against me that shall prosper. I told somebody this recently, and you may disagree with me, but until Jesus gets finished with me, I'm bulletproof. You say, well, we'll see about that now. Now, listen, don't get no ideas. All right, I'm just saying, I believe this, Sister Gail, until Jesus is finished with me, there is no weapon that's formed against me that's going to prosper, amen? He has fought my battles. He goes before me. He prepares the way. He is the Lord over all the demons there are in this world. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. My friend, may I tell you, He's Lord over the demon world. He's God of gods, Lord of lords. He's Lord over demons. Second of all, He's Lord over death. Death has been on your trail ever since you were born. We have on our calendar, thank God, there's Shirley celebrating a birthday this coming Wednesday. Happy birthday, Shirley. Amen. We've got folk on our calendar celebrating birthdays. Christians having one on the 10th. We have Vicky's having one on the 11th. May I remind you, though, we'll celebrate our birthdays, but can I tell you something? I'm not being morbid, but every year we have a birthday, it brings us one step closer to that day that we're going to have our last birthday. But I got news for you. There is coming a day, my friend, that death will be no more. He is the Lord over death. The Bible says that all they that are in the grave will hear His voice. Some will come to the resurrection of life. Some will come to the resurrection of damnation. Mark this down and remember this. Is that a dead man, and my friend, he will hear the voice of God one day. He'll come forth either in the resurrection, at the rapture of the church, the saints of God, and they'll meet together and go up to be with Jesus in heaven, or either at the white throne judgment. He'll hear His voice, and all the wicked dead that have died in years past will come forth and stand before God at the white throne judgment. And there they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Mark my word, you'll hear the voice of God one day. But He's the Lord over death. And then, my friend, He's the Lord over demons. He's the Lord over death. He's the Lord over disease. I'm glad, listen to me, some folks hadn't got on board with this yet. The Bible says this. There was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she went to many doctors. I thank God for good doctors. Amen? Amen? I've got a Christian doctor. And when I go see him, which is rare, I don't like going. I mean, listen, I just don't like going. I don't know anybody likes going to the doctor, unless you're a hypochondriac. Amen? But anyway, I just don't like going to doctors. If I don't have to, I just... every 6 months, they say, you need to come back and you need to have blood work. I hate doing that. I hate getting my arm poked. Amen? It's my blood. I want to keep every bit of it. I don't want to give it away. But I think every time I go to my doctor, and thank God we'll come in, and he went to a Christian university, and he'll come in and listen. One of the things I enjoy about, we'll have a prayer meeting. We'll pray for one another. We'll pray that God would bless his efforts and God bless my efforts, and we have a prayer meeting every time I see him. Hallelujah, every 6 months. Thank God for good doctors, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest physician of all is Jesus. What do we read about a week out here? Psalm 100 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities," and help me out now if you know the verse, "and healeth all thy diseases." How many of you believe that? Two or three of you. How many of you believe He forgives all of our iniquities? And in the same verse, He says, "And who healeth all thy diseases." Amen. If we can believe the first part, why can't we believe the second part? Amen. Oh, listen. He is the Lord over all diseases. Hallelujah. I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's nothing that takes Him by surprise. But He is coming back again. And here, bring me to the third one, and I'm done. Notice in verses 7 to 10. There we find, lift up your heads, these two choirs, one on this side, one on this side. One side would say, "Lift up your heads." The other side, "O ye gates, be ye lift up." The other side, "O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." How many of you really believe He's coming back again? How do we prepare for that? He's coming for His bride, not for the church member, not for the religious person. He's coming in the rapture for His saints. 7 years after that, He comes back with His saints. Amen? Hey, listen. I'm not going to call them by name, but there's folks that get on TV and they'll sell you freeze-dried food and they're preparing for the church to go through the tribulation. Honey, I guarantee you, I've got some canned goods in my pantry and I've got some stuff in my freezer. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not looking for freeze-dried food to take me through the tribulation, because I want got news for you. My Jesus is coming to take the church out before the tribulation comes. Amen. He's coming for the church, the bride of Christ. He's coming for me. Now notice something. He comes for the saints. 7 years down after that, He comes with the saints. Revelation 19. For heaven will open. He that sat upon a white horse, whose name is Faithful and True, He'll come back again. He'll come back at the Battle of Armageddon, when the armies of the world have gathered at the plain of Jezreel, outside Jerusalem, on the plain of Esdraelon, from the Mount Megiddo, from what we get our word Armageddon. He'll come back. And as he left, listen to me, Acts 1:11. Hear me out now, church. Acts 1:11. Ye men of Galilee, as those disciples stood there and Jesus went back into heaven, as He ascended back into heaven, I believe those men of Galilee stood there and they looked up until they could nothing see but just a little black speck. As they stood there, all of a sudden the sound of the angels came and they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner. And friend, I got news for you. Revelation 19, He comes back the second time. His feet will stamp down on Mount Olivet. The mountain will split in half in two. Out of His mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. It'll smite the nation of the world. Blood will run to the horse's bridle. It's 5.5 feet deep for 130 miles. Down through the streets of Jerusalem, down through those corridors, it'll fill up. The armies of the world be slain. That's my Jesus that's coming. And don't let this crowd today convince you otherwise, that He is faithful and true. But He's coming back again. I want to leave you with this. In preparation for the King to come, we need to have clean hands and pure hearts. What does that mean, preacher? If you hadn't got anything else, listen now. Clean hands signify the things that can be seen. If you were to go in a restaurant somewhere and you sit down, and let's say that you're in one of those places where you can see behind the counter, And the fellow that's fixing your food, you look back there, and he looks like he's been working on a diesel motor, and he's got black grease all over his hands. And all of a sudden, he reaches over and grabs your eggs and cracks them and puts them on the griddle, and reaches over and pulls up two strips of bacon and throws them down there. And then the waitress brings you your food and sits, and you say, I don't think so. Can I get somebody else to fix me my breakfast? You see, you would not want somebody serving you with dirty hands, would you? No? Come on, church, talk to me. You would not want somebody that is serving you to have dirty hands. And Jesus said those that serve Him need to have clean hands, the things that are obvious, the things that are seen, the things that people notice. We need to have clean hands. We need to have a life that's clean before the Lord. I'm not just talking about on Sundays. I'm talking about on Mondays. I'm talking about on Tuesdays. I'm talking about during the week. Our life ought to be clean before the Lord. The things that people see ought to radiate the cleanness of the Lord. Amen. But then the second thing here, those that getting ready for Jesus to come back, those that's getting ready for that ark to come in, those that's getting ready for the King to come back, need to have clean hands. But notice the second thing, pure hearts. Pure hearts. Pure hearts. You see, I cannot look in your heart this morning. The Bible said our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all measure. There are things that's probably transversing in your heart that nobody knows about. Those are the hidden things. Those are the secret things. Those are the things that you look at when nobody else is around. Those are the things you listen to when nobody else is around. Those are the things that you say when nobody else is around. The heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And in order for the king to come, when he's getting ready to come, we ought to have clean hands, the things that people see, but we ought to have a clean heart. And that's the things nobody can see. It's interesting here, and I'll close with this. Notice in verse number 7. I read after some old writers here to figure this one out. And so let me share this with you. And this is what it says. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, O ye everlasting doors. They tell me back in years ago, when a person would approach a city, there would be a gatekeeper. And the gate would be down, and so then the person outside the gate would speak and holler out, "Open the gates!" And then the gatekeeper would holler back, "Who is there? Why should I open the gates?" And then the response would come back, "Oh, it's the king. Open the gates." Now notice something that he says here. The gates that he's talking about figuratively, symbolically, the ancient doors is what he's signifying. It means opening our hearts. There were those in Jesus' day who opened their heart, but they did not open their house. You find in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 8, the centurion, he opened his heart, but he never invited Jesus into his house. Some people opened their house, but they did not open their heart. You find Simon in Luke chapter 7, verse 44. He opened his house, but he never opened his heart. But then you find Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The three here opened both. They opened their heart, but then they opened their house. And I wonder today, as the King of Glory gets ready to come back, you said earlier you believe that the King is coming. You believe Jesus is coming back. My friend, let's open our hearts. Let's open our treasures. Let's open what's ever inside of us tonight, today. He may live in our hearts, but not in our houses. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I don't understand that." Oh, yeah. He may live in our hearts, but in our houses is filth and rubbish and things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. Our material possessions, the things that we hold on to. This time of year, it's all about the gifts and about buying. Let's say, open our hearts, dear Jesus. Open our hearts to Him. Open our hearts to the Lord, for the King is coming. Let us give Him everything of our fiber, our soul. It all belongs to Him. He created it all. Gave me the mind, the will, the emotions. He gave me the strength. Lord Jesus, it all belongs to you. Open our hearts. Open our hearts. For the King of Glory is getting ready to come back.